I'd like to read, first of all, in the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Book of Genesis, chapter 3, and verse 8. And they heard the voice of Jehovah Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Jehovah Elohim in the midst of the trees of the garden. And Jehovah Elohim called to man and said to him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I feared, because I am naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou art naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee not to eat?" And man said to the woman, "Whom thou hast said, the woman whom thou hast given to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And Jehovah Elohim said to the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." And verse 21. Jehovah Elohim made Adam and his wife coats of skin and clothed them. The book of the prophet Obadiah, you'll find it on page 1106, just before Jonah. Obadiah prophesied about Edom. He says in verse 3, "The pride of thy heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high. He that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground?" And then in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, it's on page 929. We'll just read verse 9. "The heart is deceitful above all things, and incurable. Who can know it? I, Jehovah, search the heart." And then in the New Testament, in the first epistle of John, chapter 1, page 1478, 1 John, chapter 1, and verse 8. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And lastly, if you'll bear with me, one short verse in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, page 1385. I'll just read from verse 3. "For I delivered to you, in the first place, what also I had received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised the third day according to the Scriptures." I suppose that until last week, most of us had never heard of default software. It's caused a considerable ruffling of feathers in certain quarters. But it began a long time ago. Satan was a master at deceiving. And he still is. Hasn't changed. That's why we read in Genesis. God and his creation had said in relation to everything that it was good. And in relation to man, the creation of man, he said it was very good. God's creation was perfect. It was wonderful. If you take account of creation around us, you can see the wonder of it. The way that plants are made, the way the plants grow, and the beauty that there is in them is wonderful. And it points very simply to the hand of a master creator, God himself. But Satan spoiled it. I think you've noticed the word that comes into most of the scriptures we read is deceive or deceived. And Satan deceived the woman. She admits it. "What hast thou done?" She says, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." That's how sin came into the world. And the gospel, friend, is to tell you that there's a remedy for sin and sins. Sin has come into the world. We're told, by one man sin entered into the world, and by sin death. The wonderful thing is, and the glad tidings we can tell you from Scripture, and I repeat how important it is, that's why I read the last Scripture, because it tells us there that what Paul had to say was that it was according to Scripture. And that would have been what was in the Old Testament, not the New. It hadn't been written in, as we know it today, when Paul wrote those words to the Corinthians. It was according to the Scriptures. Mm. And it's very important to go by Scripture. Should be our guide, you know. Helps have their place, but Scripture has a wonderful place. It should do in your heart. I would trust it has in mine too. You know, there were those, we're digressing a little, I know, but there were those that recorded in Scripture that it says they were more honourable than those in Thessalonica. And they searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. A good thing to search Scripture. Not to find that it doesn't apply, but you'll find that it does apply. And you'll find the guide in Scripture is there to help. And some of us were looking this afternoon at the Lord's words on the Mount. They were there to guide persons in their life here. So, sin came in. In the Gospel frame, we have a wonderful remedy. And we just touched on it a little in Genesis. Jehovah, Elohim, made Adam and his wife coats of skin and clothing. That's all that's said. But it's lovely. It tells me that there had to be a sacrifice. An animal had to be killed to provide Adam and Eve with coats of skin. And for your salvation, my friend, Jesus had to go to the cross. Says he offered himself spotless to God. Yes, he was perfect in every way. He was different from you and me. He was here as a man, yes, in flesh and blood. But he was here without sin. In him, sin was not. Sin came in, as we said, through disobedience to being, the woman says she was deceived. Elsewhere you'll find in Scripture that it said that it was disobedience. And that's really what we had in the first part of what we read. God said, "Hast thou eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee not to eat?" We do something which God has made perfectly clear was not to be done. And we find that through Scripture. God sets out guidelines in his word. It's there to help us. When we're younger, we don't always appreciate it. I certainly didn't. I trust I do now. It's there for your help. It's there for my help. But that word there, that the woman had been deceived, there was an answer. God had a ready answer to the need of man. Yes, we didn't read it, but he spoke to the serpent and said that there will be enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and he shall crush thy head, and thou shalt crush his heel. That, I believe, simply looked on to the incoming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was going to settle every question that you and I could not settle. Eve couldn't settle the question. Sin had come in. She couldn't settle it, and neither can I settle it. It has been settled at the cross to God's full satisfaction. That there is a wonderful way of salvation open to you tonight, my friend. Obadiah, he was speaking to, who said, the people of Edom. They were a nation who were descendants of Ishmael. They lived in a city called Petra. Wonderfully surrounded by hills, almost impregnable position. And he says, Obadiah says, your pride has deceived you. And that's one of the biggest things that does deceive us, you know. It's my pride. Pride of place, pride of something, whatever it may be. I don't need to list it, but pride in some way or other gets in the way. It's most obnoxious to God. God says, he says, I set myself, my face against the proud. To the humble, I give grace. What a wonderful Saviour we have to proclaim to you tonight. One who's been all the way to Calvary's cross to meet your need. Have you been deceived? What it says, you know, in John, where we read, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. No question of being deceived by something else. Deceive yourself. Don't want you to be deceived tonight, friend. I don't want anyone to leave this room feeling they've been deceived. Don't deceive yourself by saying, there's nothing I need to do, I'm perfectly all right. The world's full of persons like that around us, and I speak carefully. You come across them, they don't need a saviour. They think everything is going to be all right. My friend, you need a saviour. I need a saviour. God in his wondrous grace has provided a saviour. What a wonderful saviour he is too. What does John say? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the first thing is repentance. Scripture says repentance, or we sometimes sing of it, repentance towards God, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way to blessing, to accept that you're wrong. Woman admitted that she'd been led astray. Every one of us has to admit to God, simply, in whatever terms, whatever words you may use, they may not be great. There was that man in, we referred to in Luke 18. He stood afar off, beat upon his breast and said, Lord, have compassion on me, the sinner. Very simple, you know. Gospel's not complicated, it's simple enough. God has made it in such a way, speaking reverently, that it's easy enough for the simplest to understand. It's not complicated. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. What a faithful God we have. God is faithful. Faithful when we've been unfaithful. When I've been unfaithful, he remains faithful. Scripture tells me, and if you go by Scripture, it says he cannot deny himself. What a saviour. One who is faithful. Faithful in every way. And righteous to forgive us our sins. God has a righteous basis. That, my friend, is because of what Jesus accomplished at Calvary. That perfect work that met God's righteous claims. You see, God is holy. He's a holy God, dwells in light, unapproachable, yes. The wonder is he's been made known to you and me. The Lord Jesus came here to make God known. Wonderful thing. Until the Lord Jesus came, persons didn't know God as you and I can, know him as Father. And the Spirit's come to make it all good in your heart and in mine. God has a righteous basis. Why? Because Jesus bore the judgment of God in relation to sin. Therefore, God has a righteous basis to come out in blessing to you. And he can forgive your sins. God can't overlook sin. Make that quite clear. He's never overlooked sin. Jesus bore the judgment of God in relation to sin, that you might be forgiven. Yes, God loves to forgive. I say it more than once in the preaching, and I say it again. Jesus is more ready to save you than you are to be saved. That was the words of an old preacher. Said many years ago. Not my words, somebody else's. But I commend it to you. Yes, there's a readiness on my Saviour's part to save you. And he wants to save you tonight. The alternative is hell. Simple as that. It's reserved for the devil and his angels. If you read Revelation 20, you'll find it. When Satan is cast into the lake of fire, that's the final destination of the one we read of who deceived Eve in chapter 3 of Genesis. It's the lake of fire. That's what it's reserved for. For those who don't believe, friend, it's the same judgment. But tonight, the opportunity is that you might believe. You might accept Jesus as your Saviour. Yes, reading Corinthians, where we read, that Christ died for our sins. Very simple statement that the apostle makes according to the scriptures. Yes, he had the basis on which to say that. I spoke to someone not long ago, well, perhaps a little while ago, a Christian believer, and he had the privilege to go to school and address the pupils. And he said to me one thing I always stuck with me. He said, I never say to them, this is what I think. He says, I say, this is what Scripture says. You're on safe ground. The safest ground you can have. It's the inspired word of God. It's indicted by the Spirit of God. And it's safe and it's sound. And how thankful we are in this day in which we live, when we can have a Bible that's translated into our own language, which is safe and sound. So the apostle says, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Yes, he did. It was all foretold. Isaiah tells us in chapter 53, beautifully. What does he say? Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did regard him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We return every one to his own way. Jehovah has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. It's a scripture. There's others too you could look at. And I think that's a wonderful example that Christ died for our sins. By his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Yes, everyone has turned to his own way. Paul enlarges on that in Romans and says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Isaiah had it, all we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone. None of us left out. Some people these days talk about a level playing field. Well, there's one, if you want one. All we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. But Jehovah has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Jesus bore the judgment of God in relation to sin. But every one of those sins that you and I have committed were borne by him. If you put your faith and trust in him, yes. However many they may be, if you just stop for a minute and try and think, and if you're like me, you'll most likely forget how many there may have been, both before and in the future. They're all covered by the blood of Christ. That's based on scripture too. I don't say that just by a whim. Every sin has been met. You think of the vast volume, speaking reverently, of sins that my Saviour has met. He's borne them all, every one. Take them away. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised the third day according to the scriptures. There was never going to be any doubt that my Saviour was going to rise again the third day. He spoke of it himself many times. His disciples didn't understand it at the time. They did very shortly afterwards. It seemed incomprehensible to them. But it was all part of God's divine plan for your blessing. Paul says elsewhere in this book, if Christ be not raised, you're still in your sins. Oh, my friend, I know a risen Saviour. One who's been into death, shed his precious blood, met every need, and he's risen again. Is he your Saviour? He can be. My friend, if he's not, don't hesitate. Don't leave it for another day. Don't be like those persons in Acts, was it Acts 17? They said, we will hear him again. No, my friend. Today is the day of salvation. It's the opportune time when you can be coming to God's blessing. He's propitious towards you. You may have had difficulties. You may have deceived yourself. You may have tried to. If we're honest in our hearts, we've been that way, you know. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Everything removed, everything gone out of the sight of God forever. You know, there's another verse in Jeremiah. Jeremiah's a wonderful book. We read it at Hampton not long ago. And, we struggled through. But it's a very interesting book. There's some lovely pieces in it. He says, as far as the east is from the west, so my sins are taken away. He says also, I will never remember them forever. Mm-hmm. Yes. God takes them completely away and they're gone. And you can have faith in Christ and a freedom, dear friend, which nothing in this world could possibly offer. That's the gospel, my friend, in a simply put, feebly put, but come to the Saviour tonight. Don't put it off. He's waiting for you. He's died at Calvary's cross and he lives in heaven. And he's coming again. Yes, what a wonderful Saviour. He's coming himself, for everyone who's put their faith and trust in him. Not going to leave it to an angel, coming himself. Come with archangel voice, the trump of God. It's going to be a wonderful day. He's also coming to take up his rights. Rights which have been refused in this world at this present time. That's going to be a wonderful day too. Paul speaks of those who love his appearing. Well, we should have both thoughts in our minds. The day when the Lord's coming for those who are his own. And I trust, my friend, that you're among them. If not, the way is quite simple. A way of repentance and forgiveness. God, in his wondrous grace, has a basis to forgive you. And to put those sins behind his back. Never to see them again. May you be encouraged to accept the Lord Jesus Christ is your Saviour, for his name's sake.